This is Trevor Story, Colorado Rockies. You're listening to Faith on the Field show.
Welcome to Faith on the Field show presented by International Justice Mission. I am Rob Motti with my beautiful wife, Remy, and it is great to be with you again in L.A., Vegas, Orlando,
That's
Charlotte,
right.
Atlanta, and our home station, 97.5, the Fanatic Philadelphia. Thank you all for tuning in. Our guest this week is Jacksonville Jaguar safety, Doug Middleton. Doug is a mental health advocate. May is Mental Health Awareness Month. He started a foundation to raise awareness after his best friend a few years ago committed suicide. So stay tuned for that conversation coming up. Doug is also a strong believer, and he's a guy who has never been guaranteed a roster spot in the league. He was an undrafted free agent, but he stuck around for several seasons in the NFL. He lives week to week in the league, and he's lasted a long time because, and it's really an incredible accomplishment, but he works hard. He never gives up. He keeps trying, and that's a topic that you and I want to discuss today because you were talking to me about the story of the widow's olive oil in 2 Kings 4.
Yeah, I wanted to just talk about the idea of God meeting you when you're absolutely at your bottom. You're done. You have those days when you're just like, God, I'm done. I don't know what else to do. I've tried everything. I have sought every advice. I have done everything I could do, but nothing is working. You know, I've worked hard. I've done everything I'm supposed to do. Mm-hmm. But now what?
Yeah.
You know, the door is still shut. What's up now? You know, what's going on? And we all go through these seasons. We all go through these times where we just like, we come to the end of ourselves. But did you know that that's where he made us? God meets you when you're done, when you're absolutely at the end of yourself, when you're empty.
Yeah.
When you're empty, when you have nothing to give. And just as the woman here that asked Elijah, in the Bible, she was saying to the prophet Elijah.
You want me to read this one? It's 2 Kings 4. I'll read it.
Sure, you can read
it. Yeah, I'll read it quickly.
Yeah, I'm just going to sum it up.
The wife of a man from the company of the prophets. I'm reading from the NIV version. Mm-hmm. The wife of a man from the company of the prophets cried out to Elisha, "Your servant, my husband, is dead, and you know that he revered the Lord. But now his creditor is coming to take my two boys as his slaves." Elisha replied to her, "How can I help you? Tell me, what do you have in your house?" And she said, "Your servant has nothing there at all, except a small jar of olive oil." Elisha said, "Go around and ask all your neighbors for empty jars. Don't ask for just a few. Then go inside and shut the door behind you and your sons. Pour oil into all the jars, and as each is filled, put it to one side." She left him and shut the door behind her and her sons. They brought the jars to her, and she kept pouring. When all the jars were full, she said to her son, "Bring me another one." But he replied, "There is not a jar left." Then the oil stopped flowing. She went and told the man of God, and he said, "Go sell the oil and pay your debts. You and your sons can live on what is left."
This here is everything, because one, she's empty. This lady, like, she's done everything, right? She's at the end of the rope. She's done. She's about to lose even the most precious thing to her, which is her kids, right? And she's done. She got nothing but oil, like a tiny little bit of oil.
Mm-hmm.
So the idea of being completely empty, tried everything, and also him asking her to pour it one last time. Just pour whatever you have one last time. And that's like, it's so huge, because sometimes you think you got nothing left, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Nothing left. But God tells you, what do you have? And sometimes all you have is a prayer. Sometimes all you have is tears,
right.
You know?
Yeah.
And sometimes, I mean, I know I did that last Sunday, you know, where I just felt like I'm empty. I got nothing. I'm exhausted. I got nothing else left. But literally the only thing I can give right now is a prayer. And tears, and that's all I gave. I pour it one last time. I give God everything. I left it right there. I was like, this is it. I got it. This is, I'm done, you know?
And then quickly you get information that
so,
something
I mean,
is working out.
I share just a little bit, not everything, but I was so disappointed this last week in something, you know, something is going on with us here. It's personal, but, and I just felt like I did everything. I did everything.
Well, you're really hard on yourself, too.
I am.
You're hard on yourself.
I'm a perfectionist.
And you're impatient.
And I'm very impatient.
And you're impatient. And I think sometimes God is saying, hey, relax, I got this. The whole time I'm telling you.
But the funny thing is, like, he's the same thing with me, though. He gets me.
Yeah.
So he responds really quickly. So the funny thing is that time, while I was just like, I actually left my phone downstairs. I went upstairs because I didn't want the kids to see me crying and just praying. Because when I pray, sometimes I just cry because sometimes I pour it out, you know. Mm-hmm. I leave everything on the table, you know. So I did that. I went upstairs and was just like, I'm done and I need something to keep me going because I felt like I was... sometimes you know how sometimes you get so upset that you feel like you can't breathe, you're tired of like doing everything you could possibly do. So I was just like done. I was so exhausted and tired, and I come downstairs and I see a text, and I'm telling you guys, that text, I believe that was straight from heaven because it was exactly what I needed in that moment. It was exactly the answer to the prayer. It was exactly what I wanted and more. It was above and beyond. So when I say I fell to the floor when I saw the text, I fell to the floor when I saw the text.
Well, you're very impatient. And the whole time I'm trying to tell you, and it's crazy because I'm an impatient person, but sometimes the greater the magnitude of whatever the worry is, I have more patience with things of great importance than I do with like little stupid things. Like you wanted to start a YouTube series, Man Against the Machine, featuring me, right? Where like I just go crazy flipping out over stupid machines, whether it's the lawnmower, whether it's a laptop, whatever it would be.
Yeah.
So I'm very impatient with small little details, small little things. But the bigger things, I don't know why I have... Like, and I'm grateful that I have this patience, but sometimes we feel that God has abandoned us, that he's not keeping his promises, and we become disappointed, and we become bitter, and we blame him for whatever sorrow that we're feeling or whatever misery that we're feeling. And here in 2 Kings 4, where the widow loses her husband, right? Mm-hmm. She's on the verge of losing her sons. When God asks her through Elisha, how can I help you?
Mm-hmm.
He's reaching out. How can I help you? And he starts with, what do you have in the house? She had one small jar of olive oil. And he asked her to ask neighbors for more jars, right? That mm-hmm. right there, go and ask your neighbors. Mm-hmm. That required faith.
And action.
Faith and mm-hmm. action. And mm-hmm. she showed faith. And when she did that, she was blessed with enough oil to pay off her husband's debt and then live off the rest. But this woman's situation, it started with sorrow. Mm-hmm. It started with a loss. There was a lot of fear. There was a lot of anxiety. Mm-hmm. But she cried out for help. Yep. And when she cried out for help and she demonstrated her strong faith, mm-hmm. she was rescued.
Right.
And the point is, God provides for his people. He will provide for his people. So no matter what you're going through, no matter what loss or sorrow, no matter if you're feeling at the end of your rope, if you're feeling like that's it, I've given up all hope, I've abandoned everything, don't lose hope. Don't give up. Keep trying. Keep working. Keep fighting. Keep believing, because God is a miracle worker and he'll find a way, like he found a way for the widow.
The thing is, there is nothing impossible for him. It really isn't anything impossible for him. And when you think about it, you sometimes I feel like he just thinks about what we think about and just laughs because he's like, is that all you got? Yeah. It just is silly. But to us,
that's
it's
all you
so,
want? That's
I know. Like, oh. And then, but
don't underestimate it. Can you imagine? Right. He's like, oh, don't underestimate me.
But all he wants from us is to just give it one more go. Just try it one more time. Even if you got nothing else to give, like, me, I got nothing else. Like, there was nothing in my control anymore but crying and praying. So I did that. And the funny thing is, that is pouring it one last time. Mm-hmm. The funny thing is, that is asking for help. Because just like how this woman ran to Elijah for help, that is me asking God for help one last time. Like saying, I'm going to ask you one more time to come in and do something about this. And he did.
And it starts with what you have. Like we that means we already have it within our ability,
right,
within our capability. If we don't lose hope, don't give up, and keep working, keep trying. And you're going to hear up next from Jaguar safety Doug Middleton, who's a guy who keeps working, keeps trying, keeps fighting. You're listening to Faith on a Field Show, presented by International Justice Mission.
Since 1930, the Heritage family has proudly served the communities of South Jersey. From humble roots, Heritage's Dairy Stores now operates 33 convenient locations. Their desire is to become your convenience store of choice, not just because of their welcoming atmosphere, but because of their fresh, quality products. Heritage's milk is still the sweetest, coffee's hot and fresh, and Heritage's full-service delis offer the best local ingredients prepared and sliced on-site, far exceeding the competition. Heritage's Dairy Stores. It's not just our name, it's our heritage.
Today, over 40 million people are being forced into trafficking and slavery. One in four are children. We cannot allow them to suffer in silence. We need you. We need everybody. Go to IJM.org/take action. Get information. Understand how you can be involved. Because of the work that you are committing to do, they will be free.
Karen University is a biblical university located in Langhorne, Pennsylvania, just 25 minutes from Center City, Philadelphia. With NCAA Division III athletics, a strong commitment to the arts, and majors in over 40 professional and academic fields, Karen prepares students to serve Christ as biblically minded, well-educated, and professionally competent men and women of character. Learn more at karen.edu.
This is Dak Prescott, and you're listening to Faith on the Field Show.
Welcome back to Faith on the Field Show, presented by International Justice Mission. I'm Rob Motti with Remy. If you're listening to us for the first time, you can go to faithonthefieldshow.com and find every episode since we launched in 2017. We've had an incredible lineup of guests, and you can listen anytime at your convenience on any of the podcast platforms. Be sure to follow us also on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at Faith on the Field, and tell a friend about the show. I want to take a minute to thank all of our awesome sponsors. Please check them out on our website, International Justice Mission, Karen University, Heritage's Dairy Stores, and Brenda Lee Utzler and Associates. If you would like to be a sponsor for our show, please reach out to us at team@faithonthefieldshow.com. We have various packages that we can cater to fit your specific needs on radio, in your local market, or nationally on all of the stations that we're on. There's just so much that we can do with you through social media, podcasts, and more if you partner up with Faith on the Field and help us grow the ministry. Our goal is to be on a sports radio station in every state, and we need your help to get there. If you don't have a business to advertise on but want to help our ministry grow, we have a donate button on our page at faithonthefieldshow.com. And you can also help our ministry by purchasing some of our merch through Remy's 828 Threads Apparel store. We have t-shirts, long sleeve shirts, sweatshirts, hoodies, mugs, face masks, and much more. So check it out. Really cool stuff. You can find it on our site at faithonthefieldshow.com under merch. Our guest this week is Jacksonville Jaguar safety Doug Middleton. Doug signed with the New York Jets in 2016 as an undrafted free agent out of Appalachian State. He's played for the Jets, Dolphins, and he's been with the Jaguars since 2019. Middleton's the kind of guy who's had a fight for a roster spot and earned it every day in practice. He's overcome several injuries and a lot more. After losing his best friend to suicide, he started a foundation called Dream the Impossible to raise awareness for mental health issues. Doug is also a strong man of faith. Here's my conversation with Jaguar safety Doug Middleton on Faith on a Field Show, presented by International Justice Mission.
Doug, I know mental health is an issue that you're passionate about and helping people get the help that is out there. You started a foundation, Dream the Impossible, also lost your best friend to suicide. So how did all that come together for you, and really what inspired you, motivated you to start that?
Yeah, Rob, so you know, losing my best friend, A.J. Morrison, in 2017, right before my second season, after, you know, he suffered from severe depression, that was something, you know, that really made a mark on my life. He's somebody that I had a huge relationship with and spent a large part of my life with. It's, you know, it's my brother. So, you know, losing him, you know, losing a friend like that, and people not knowing what all he went through, and after you spoke at his funeral, after I spoke at his funeral, I tried to shed light on some of the things he was going through. A lot of people really didn't understand. That's what kind of inspired me to want to educate people, especially African Americans, on mental health. And you know, that's something that motivated me. Still to this day, motivates me. And you know, I know I couldn't save my best friend, but you know, I just want to be able to save many more other people.
The NFL offers a lot of different programs. There's a lot of help out there. I think sometimes some guys, maybe they feel that there's a stigma attached to mental health, or maybe they're embarrassed or ashamed. How do you break down that barrier and convince people that, one, it's okay to not be okay, right, Doug, and to seek that help?
Right. Yeah, I mean, man, when you look at it, like, you know, as an NFL, you know, athlete, player, it's only, you know, once the active season starts, it's only about 1,300 players there, you know, in the NFL at that, during that time. And, you know, at that time, you're at the top of the world. You know, you're one of the few. And it scares guys when they have to reset, and when, you know, they get done playing, and now you're not one of those 1,300. Now you can't identify yourself with something that you've pretty much done your whole life. So it's like, you know, how do I tell people, you know, who I am without, you know, mixing in the game of football? Because it's something I've done since, you know, the age of six. And going through, you know, the things that I had to go through with my own career and the injuries that I've been through gave me opportunity to focus a little bit on my life beyond football. And I think that's what guys have to do. That's what they have to learn how to do, is to proactively think about, you know, what life looks like, you know, after this game, why you still have the game, because that's the best time to do it. That's the best time to leverage resources. That's the best time to kind of find out what you love to do. And then, you know, most of the time, if you wait until after you're done, it's a little bit too late. You know, guys struggle big time once they leave this game. You know, they struggle. Some of them struggle financially. You know, a lot of them struggle emotionally, and they really haven't found a career or passion to put in place for the game of football. And you know, I'm a big believer in that. And that's something, you know, my foundation has been working on, even, you know, at the high school and college level, just trying to help kids identify tools and identify passions outside, you know, whatever sport that they love to play. You know, you could love to play basketball, but at some day, you know, basketball is going to come to an end. You could love to play, you know, love to run track, but at, you know, at some day that track, you know, running track is going to come to an end. So how do you identify yourself then? And so, you know, league has so many resources out there as far as helping, you know, players transition once the game is over. It's just, we got to take advantage of them. And as far as breaking down the stigma, I think guys is, you know, we got to continue to share those success stories and continue to share the stories of guys making smooth transitions. But also that, just continuing to have the conversation to normalize, you know, mental health. You know, the stigma is around because people feel like they can't just openly discuss it. You know, I struggle just like anybody else, you know, and I'm sure a lot of people that's made it, you know, to the top of or been very successful people have had to struggle at times. And, you know, once you realize and notice that, you know, you'll be a lot better off.
I spoke to Malcolm Jenkins last year, and he told me that he sees a therapist weekly, and it helps him poop. It helps him deal. That's something that maybe 10, 15, 20 years ago, you would have never heard a player just so openly admit that. Are you noticing more teammates, more guys talk about, hey, let's have a therapist, right? It's available to us, you know, reach out, talk to a therapist. Is that something that you're seeing more players maybe openly talking to each other about?
Yeah, but it's gotta be more, Rob. It's gotta be more, Rob. I think it's definitely, it's way better than when I came into the league. It's 10 times better, but I mean, we're still not satisfied with where it's at yet. I mean, we're still losing guys. I mean, players are still suffering. You know what I'm saying? There's guys, you know, that I can think of that are, you know, in my own personal relationships with teammates that are still struggling, and it's, the conversation needs to happen more. And I always tell people, it's not, seeing a therapist is not something that you do, you know, you don't have to just do it only in response to when you're struggling. Some of the most successful people see therapists just proactively, not just as a response, like, hey, I'm having a bad day, I need to go see somebody. It's more like, how can I you know, make sure I don't have a bad day? How can I be the best version of myself? Like, that's what I'm focused on. Like, one quote that I'm putting on a t-shirt for Mental Health Awareness Month talks about, like, never being afraid of being a better you, you know, and that's what it's really all about, you know, just being proactively taking the right steps to be the best version of yourself. You're not going to lift weights, you know, when you're feeling bad. You're going to lift weights because you want to continue to feel good, look good, and be a healthy person. So, you know, you got to treat your mental health just as important as your physical health.
Doug, tell me a little bit about your journey to the NFL, because you go through a small school, Appalachian State, you're undrafted. I mean, you're not a guy who's a first-round pick, guaranteed contract. Yeah. You know, you're playing season to season, trying to get a job, and you've been able to do it now since 2016 and still in the NFL, heading into another season with Jacksonville. Just how difficult has it been to get to this point, and how much do you appreciate how hard you have to work to earn it?
Yeah, Rob, it's been pretty difficult, man. Like you said, being undrafted, guy, I've been, you know, doubted and, you know, counted out since I got into this league. You know, I came in with a $5,000 signing bonus, and, you know, I just kind of made my way, you know, from there, you know, and I think there's no substitute for hard work. There's no substitute for smart players. And for me, you know, God has definitely been has definitely helped me get here and been with me along the way. But I think, you know, just, you know, for me and my journey, it's just going above and beyond. I've always been those guys, one of those guys, those hustle guys, those effort guys, ones that's going to go above and beyond. And you know, sometimes the chips just fall in your way when you do that. You know, I've definitely had some injuries in my career, some things that I felt like has definitely set my career back at times. But I've done everything I can to, you know, to overcome those injuries and continue to battle. And like you said, going into, you know, my sixth season, you know, in the NFL and another year with Jacksonville, just trying to keep it going. I think, you know, you just got to continue to work hard, continue to keep God first, and you know, continue to know that, you know, it's no day in this NFL that's guaranteed. You know, it's been day to day for me since I got into this league. You know, one day I could be cut, the next day I could be starting. So you just never know. You know, so I've lived my life like that, you know, since 2016. So it's just something that I'm ready for a little bit more stability. I'm ready to, you know, finally find, you know, some more continued success and hopefully to start winning some games. That's definitely goal for me.
Now, tell me, how do you cope with that, though, man? Because you've been cut. You've been on a practice squad. You've been, you've gone through that. So how do you personally, you talk about helping other people deal with mental health. Yeah, how does Doug Middleton deal with it?
Rob, I ain't gonna lie, man. It's tough, man. It's tough, man. I've gotten, I mean, I can tell you stories, but I got cut when they did the little COVID down to 80. I got cut on that, you know, that Friday, and the thing that's always tough for me, the thing that's always tough for my mental health is when they cut you, and they say, "Oh, it's nothing you did; it's just numbers." That's like the worst answer in the world. It's like, well, how can I look at things to improve, or what do I need to do better if all you're saying to me is just numbers? You know, and I've had to deal with that several times, you know, throughout my career, and you know, it's tough going back to the drawing board every time you get cut and trying to figure out what I need to do better. Like, you know, how can I do better with this next opportunity? And, you know, what I come to realize as far as with my mental health, as far as getting through it, is that, you know, there's nothing else I can do but work. You know, that's the only solution out there. But at the same time, I think something that's definitely got me through is learning how to celebrate small success. So that was something I've learned early on in my career, and I've carried it all the way through. So I give you an example. My rookie year, you know, every Tuesday they would, you know, make the cuts. And if you were on the roster by 4 o'clock, you know, you were pretty much good for the week, at least getting paid for the week. You know, you could still get cut. But so every Tuesday my rookie year, I would eat at the same steakhouse called Root Steakhouse in New Jersey, Morristown, New Jersey. Wow. I stayed downtown Morristown. And I would eat eat there every Tuesday at about 6 p.m. after I knew I wouldn't get cut that week. So it's just things like that, man, celebrating small success, like, and being able to enjoy it when you do reach new levels, you know, in your career, you know, getting able to, you know, start a couple games my third season, you know, alongside Jamal Adams and a lot of great players. I mean, you know, that means a lot to me. So, you know, celebrating that success that I had there, you just got to enjoy the good moments. But at the same time, just know that, you know, when the bad times do come, you know, you're built for them, and you just got to continue to push through it.
Tell me the story about the Eagles told you they were going to draft you or another guy. They didn't. The other guy ends up being Jalen Mills. He's a starting cornerback for them, wins a Super Bowl, and just now after 5 years in Philly ends up going to New England. Have you ever thought about that? Like, look back at that and, man, like, dang, that could have been me playing in that Super Bowl with that team.
Yeah, for sure. I didn't think about it that far like that, how you just put it, but you know, because to be honest, you, like, looking back on it now, it's a lot of things that these teams tell you, and it's a lot of things that they say. And, you know, now looking at, you know, how this, the NFL is, I mean, they say a lot of things, you know. So looking back on that moment, it was draft day. It was right before it was that Saturday morning. And I want to say I got a call from the director of pro personnel. It was either that or assistant GM. I can't really remember the name. I got to, you know, go back and check the records. But, you know, they gave me a call and they said, hey, look, we're really interested in you. You know, you fit exactly what we're looking for. You know, a versatile guy that can play corner safety. And, you know, it's between you and this other guy. And, you know, we definitely are going to draft one of the two today. And that's kind of how the conversation went. And, you know, and I'm sitting there, you know, they get the pick, and it's not me. So, you know, I knew it would be somebody, but I didn't know who the other person was. But much success, you know, for Jalen Mills. He's had a great career so far, man. So, you know, they definitely made a great decision there. But, you know, you just never know how your career is going to go. You know, I just take it a day at a time. And you know, there's definitely things I wish I could have done better in my career. And you know, whether I didn't have some of those injuries, who knows, you know, if I would have been in a different location or a different place, you know, but, you know, everything works out, you know, how it's supposed to.
What do you say as we got the draft coming up to some of these guys who don't hear their name called, like yourself, but can look at somebody like you who made a career for himself in the NFL to be able to, right, to play 5-6 years and still going is very impressive for an undrafted player. So there's going to be a lot of disappointed players coming up in this draft that don't hear their name called, but then they're going to get a call for sign a rookie contract, undraft a free agent and go in there. What do you say to those guys?
Man, I think the first level of advice I give them is, I still remember to this day when I was sitting there, you know, with my family after the draft and my name wasn't called. And I only had my immediate family there because I kind of knew, you know, it wasn't for sure that I was going to get drafted. It was, you know, I was hearing different things. So, but there was still pain there, you know, after I didn't hear my name called. And, you know, what I would tell guys is just, for me, you know, sitting, watching the draft, you know, after the draft, not hearing my name called, it was a tough moment for me. And you know, it felt like everything you wanted to accomplish out of life didn't happen. And, you know, for guys, you know, my advice to them would be just remember that feeling. Remember that feeling when you're having some success. Remember that feeling. You know, when you get the money that you get, because that feeling to carry out your entire career and never forget where you came from. And just because, you know, you didn't get drafted doesn't mean there's an opportunity out there for you. You know, take advantage of every chance you get and, you know, just work, you know, just prove them wrong. And more importantly, prove the people that believe in you right. You know, so that's what I would tell them.
You talked about wanting to get some wins. Urban Meyer is a new head coach over there in Jacksonville, obviously got a winning reputation from college football. Have you had a chance? I know you guys can't get in the building yet because of all the CBA rules and everything, but have you had a chance to talk to the coaching staff and how excited are you to get back, you know, a fresh start? Trevor Lawrence, most likely going to be the first round pick, number one pick. Like, we all know it's going to be Trevor Lawrence, but
So,
how excited are you about that?
Actually, Rob, I actually just came from Jacksonville. I was down there in the building for the week and got to meet all the coaches. And, you know, I'm excited, man. Urban brings a winning culture. You know, he's been a winner since day one. And to be able to bring that to Jacksonville after going 1-15 last year, it was tough. You know, it was tough. It was tough knowing every time you went into a game, you, think it was going to go the way you, you know, you prepared for. So, you know, I'm excited. You know, we got a great group of coaches. You know, we got some energetic coaches ready to get the work. And you know, I'm ready to build this thing and turn this thing around. So, you know, I'm just doing everything I can to make sure that I'm a part of that, that transition, that change. So, you know, it was good getting to talk to Urban and meet Urban and the rest of the coaching staff. And you know, I'm excited to see what we can do.
Doug, you mentioned God being good to you, and I know you're a man of faith. Tell me, how much has your faith been an important part of helping you as you deal with the ups and the downs and the emotions of being in the NFL, getting cut one day, like everything that you go through? How much do you rely on your faith?
And to be honest, like, if I didn't have faith, I wouldn't know what to do, because there's, I mean, there's times you really don't have a clue. It really doesn't make sense at all. Like, to, I mean, it doesn't even make sense to the coaches sometimes when things happen. Like, you know, when you get cut sometimes, you know, I've had coaches look at me like, dang, I didn't even know that was happening. Or, you know, like the injuries when I, you know, my second year tearing my pec, and then my third year, you know, after starting, you know, some games and playing in some games, tearing my other side. So it's like, I don't have any choice but to, you know, believe in my faith, because that's the only person that could be orchestrating this whole journey and this whole career. So, you know, I've been through so much in my career, you know, getting cut, you know, in my fourth season with New York with no explanation at all. You know, moments like that is where you have, you know, your faith is really tested, and you really go through a lot. And when you look at the journey, when you look at the fact that, like, a lot of the things that I've been through in my career can't be answered by any, you know, human explanation at all. You know, having back-to-back season injuries, getting cut in New York with no explanation at all, you know, getting cut a few times in Jacksonville. Like, those are things that I really don't even understand. But the only thing I can do is just trust in my faith and know that that's, you know, God is orchestrating it all. So, you know, and I'm still here. So, you know, that's one thing that I believe, that he has me going through this for a reason. And, you know, I just got to keep going.
What do you do to stay active, like, in the Word on a daily basis, a weekly basis? Like, you know, we all need to be fed, right? We all need to not just, you know, food physically, but spiritually for our mind, for our soul. What do you do?
I'm a big podcast person. So, I listen to Elevation Church on podcast. I listen to Michael Todd with Transformation Church on podcast. I listen to T.D. Jakes, Joel Osteen every day, pretty much on podcast. And I listen to a lot of, you know, gospel music, you know, and I read the Word. I get, you know, some scriptures that I kind of dive into. But like you said, you just got to continue to fill your spirit, you know, with that. It's just like regular food that you got to eat every day. So, especially with everything that's going on in this world, you just got to continue to feed your spirit.
Next up, we got to get Faith on the Field on your rotation, a podcast, man. We got to get you listening to me and Remy doing a show. She listened to all of
Yeah, 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 yeah. I'm going to put that on there. Yeah, for sure. Send it to me. I'm going to definitely tune in.
I love it. I love it. Man, listen, I appreciate you spending some time with me, Doug.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
That was Jaguar safety Doug Middleton. Thank you to Doug for joining us this week. Thank you to Doug Horton, Pastor Scott, Josh, and everyone at Team Faith on the Field. And thank you for listening to Faith on the Field show presented by International Justice Mission. With Remy, I'm Rob Motti, reminding you, make a difference, be a blessing.
Today, over 40 million people are being forced into trafficking and slavery. One in four are children. We cannot allow them to suffer in silence. We need you. We need everybody. Go to IJM.org/take action. Get information. Understand how you can be involved. Because of the work that you are committing to do, they will be free.
Located in Langhorne, Pennsylvania, just 25 minutes from Philadelphia, Karen University is the right place for students to get a dynamic experience centered on Christ and His Word. Students are equipped professionally, personally, and spiritually, and make an impact on the local community and surrounding cities. Karen is close to everything that matters for future educators, pastors, social workers, entrepreneurs, musicians, and more. See if Karen is the right place for you. Schedule a visit today. at karen.edu/visit.
Did you know creating your legacy documents, will, power of attorney, advanced medical directive, etc. is important because it allows you to have control over how your estate will be distributed upon your passing? You also get to decide who will make decisions, both financial and medical, if you are incapacitated and unable to make them for yourself. It allows a trusted family member or friend to become the decision maker. Without these documents, these types of decisions will be determined by a court based upon state laws that may or may not be in order with your desires and intentions. I have two daughters and realized they could be in trouble if something happened to my wife and I. Thank goodness for Brenda Lee Utzler and Associates, because now Remy and I have our estate planning documents in place to protect our family, which is even more important during these challenging times. Make your appointment with Brenda Lee Utzler and Associates at 856-428-2266. Like I did, to get the peace of mind that estate planning can bring. That's 856-428-2266.
With 33 convenient locations, Heritage's Dairy Stores desires to be your deli of choice. Heritage's full-service delis offer great-tasting products for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. The Hairy Egg Breakfast Sandwich, made with two farm-fresh eggs, cheese, choice meat on a fresh Kaiser roll, makes morning simple. Heritage's famous subs are built on freshly baked Lissio rolls and feature Dietz and Watson premium meats and cheeses, freshly sliced anytime. Making lunches at home? Try one of our lunchbox specials, which are sure to please. Heritage's Dairy Stores, our family, your hometown deli.